We now have the first feature. This is a special time for bird life, as Nick Atchison of the Norfolk Wildlife Trust reports. His article on swallows and pink-footed geese is going to be read by me, David Potten. The view from my window is almost all sky. Now, though, as clouds sulk low above the common, swifts gather in an ominous stack, pierced by the blade-sharp wings of a hobby. I wrote this in July. How do I get to September from here? The swifts will have gone, that's for sure. Already by the middle of August their numbers will thin as they peel away south to spend what we call winter in a great airborne swirl above Africa. Hobbies leave later, mopping up the fledgling bounty of late summer. But in September they too go. As I type, I can hear the cheery bleat of baby swallows through my open window. They tumbled from the nest just yesterday, and while their parents loop long-tailed above the common, these feathered nippers constrain themselves to cautious circuits of a pond before returning to a perch. Here's how we get to September. These swallow chicks, so newly fledged, will take us there. One sits on a cable outside my house right now. 18 grams of Norfolk carbon, protein and minerals that in a few short weeks, by the end of September, will have made a maiden flight to Africa. Its parents will not show it the way, this new-made wisp of life, nor will they feed it as it goes. Our best guess is that this fragile thing, flicking a nervous tail on the wire outside my window, will be guided by the magnetic field of the earth as it migrates south to Africa. How birds' brains do this remains a mystery, though it seems that, as they go, these tiny animals learn terrestrial geography and the constellations. 6 weeks ago, this little bird was but a cluster of fast-dividing cells in its mother's oviduct. In another 6 weeks, come September, if it contrives to dodge the many mortal dangers on its route, it could be in sub-Saharan Africa. September sees millions of tons of carbon and other nutrients exchanged between land masses and continents in the bodies of birds. For even as swallows and hobbies leave us, great flocks of geese and ducks join us from the Arctic North. In a life lived with nature, there are countless hairs on the back of your neck moments. And for a Norfolk naturalist, one of the hairs on the back of your neckiest comes early in September every year in the clarion voices of returning pink-feet geese. Britain is winter home to the bulk of the world's population of pink-footed geese. All the birds which breed in Iceland and Greenland, numbering more than 500,000, come here every year, many of them to Norfolk. Indeed, since the pink-footed goose was recognised as a species in the 1830s, the marshes at Hokum and Wells have almost continuously been celebrated as their winter refuge. In recent years, though, our Norfolk pinkfoot flock has sharply declined, with most birds preferring to stay in Lancashire or Scotland. Whether this is a result of climate change or further shifts in agricultural practice is still a matter of debate. Nature, as September's birds loudly remind us, is complex, ever-changing, ever-challenging, and all-encompassing. We are, in the truest sense, all in this together. Each of us, as surely as a swift, a swallow, or a pinkfoot goose, is the child of a healthy environment, each fundamentally dependent on nature for our existence. As humans, uniquely, we are powerful to act to nature's detriment or for her benefit. Which, I wonder this September, will it be?
Thank you, David. That's it for part one of Chatterbox this week. So, it's goodbye from me, Rosemary Scott, from Stephen Shepherd and David Potten. Ruth Murray and John Francis are now going to take over for part two, which will include Information Desk, more news stories, and a second feature.